Narayana Namaskritcha Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devam Sarasvati Vyasam Dato Jayam Udinayat Nasta Prayesu Bhadresu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Udamasloke Bhakti Bhavati Naistaki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Panchakapata Rudhista Kripa Sindhu Devata Patita Namapavevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Siddha Dvaita Garha Sivasadi Go Bhaktavindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 12, text number 48. It's a continuation of creation of the Kumaras and others. Shabda Brahmatmanas Tasya Vyakta Vyakta Mana Paraha Brahma Vabati Vitato Nana Shakti Upabrihitaha. Shabda Brahma Manastasya Vyakta Yakta Mana Paraha Brahma Vabati Vittato Nana Shakyupa Brim Hittaha Shabha Brahma Manastasya Vyakta Vyakta Manaparaha Brahma Vabati Vittato Nana Shakyu Pabram Hitaha Shabra Bama Manastasya Vyakta Vakta Mana Paraha Brahma Vabati Vittato Nana Shakya Upabram Hitaha. You can try. Shabda Brahma transcendental sound. Atmanaha of the Supreme Lord. Tasya, His. Vyakta, manifested. Avyakta, Atmanaha of the unmanifested. Para, transcendental. Brahma, the absolute. Ava Bhakti, completely manifested. Vitataha, distributing. Nana, multifarious. Shakti, energies. Upa Brahmhitaha, invested with. Translation. Brahma is the personal representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the source of transcendental sound and is therefore above the conception of manifested and unmanifested. Brahma is the complete form of the Absolute Truth and is invested with multifarious energies. Srila Prabhupada's report. The post of Brahma is the highest responsible post within the universe, and it is offered to the most perfect personality of the universe. Sometimes the Supreme Personality of Godhead has to become Brahma when there is no suitable living being to occupy that post. In the material world, Brahma is the complete representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and transcendental sound, pranava, comes from Him. He is therefore invested with multifarious energies from which all the demigods like Indra, Chandra, Varuna are manifested. His transcendental value is not to be minimized. Even though He exhibited a tendency to enjoy His own daughter, there is a purpose for the exhibition of such a tendency by Brahma, and He is not to be condemned like an ordinary living entity. So, we were discussing yesterday how Brahma creates the nescience factors first, and He has a hellish job. And he gets confused in his job by dealing with the entanglement of the material energy. At one point, he is instructed to give up the body. So he gives up the body in terms of the subtle body that is fixed on some deviation. And then as he hears the transcendental sound vibration of Tapa, then he goes on to execute his prescribed duties. Now, it shows us something very interesting. Prabhupada says in the purport, Brahma is taking the highest responsibility in the material world and is given to one of the most intelligent entities, who then, as manifestation takes place again, that living entity gets a chance to take that post. So first we are seeing how devastating that material nature is. How imposing as we deal with material energies in any fashion. That Brahma, most intelligent, and he is experiencing some bewilderment. He chases after his own daughter. Material energy is the Bahiranga Shakti, separated energies of Krishna. Bhumi aponala vaya kama buddha eva cha ahankara ityame vina bhukriti yashtana. Comprised of all of these entangling elements, the gross as well as the subtle. So, how do we try to understand this massive confusion here? It's a serious confusion. Brahma is a very intelligent entity, has a very important post, one of the most important posts within the universe. Do we just say that it is not a Maya? Or do we look at it in a sense of being able to appreciate so much about the nature of material energy? This material world is designed for rectification, for incarceration, that is, for rectification. So it is a place that is just permeated with cheaters and cheated. It's a place that's permeated that the basic norms are deviation. So one has to really see how serious material energy is in order to transcend it. It's like if you have a very, very serious disease, but if you think you only have a cold, then you're only going to treat it based on thinking that it's just a cold. If you have a very, very serious disease, then you understand you must approach it, you must deal with it, and also in an extremely serious fashion. The disease of being in a material body, the disease of being addicted to material energies, the disease of being influenced by the gross as well as the subtle elements, subtle energies, false ego, is overwhelming and almost impossible to overcome. Almost. Unless there is shelter from Maya's boss. Maya does the job very, very expertly. Because this is Maya's field. In one sense, if we take the devotional life, we probably explains that we are on the battle of Kusetra. We are actually engaged in combat. And so in combat, it is a very dangerous situation. And if one is not somewhat chivalrous, somewhat expert in the battle, one will become wounded and even destroyed. So we see that we often become wounded in so many ways. And in some cases, our wounds are very, very critical. In some cases, the wounds are fatal for this lifetime. So we're on a battlefield, and we're not so much thinking that it's actually a battlefield, then we can be somewhat unattentive. And then there will be serious problems. So not that one has to always be uneasy, but if you're in a house and the house is on fire, there is no question of just taking things in a gradual manner. It is an emergency, and it must be addressed in an emergency fashion. So our senses, material energy itself, material world, is like a blazing forest fire. And it is burning, and it is viciously advancing. And so therefore we to be most careful. So this also is very much consistent with this day that we are having a chance to appreciate. Because in one sense, nobody gets out of the material energy without extreme mercy. Then we can say, if Krishna is all merciful, then why don't that mercy just be made available to everyone? It is available to everyone, but we have to position ourselves to receive. Someone is distributing prasadam. Someone is distributing clothes. Someone is distributing Lakshmi. But still, one has to make that contact to be a recipient. So Krishna is giving, and as we connect as he has required, then we will be powerful recipients. So this material world, with the tremendous covering of Mahatattva is practically almost impossible to move outside of. We've been surrounded by the patterns for many lifetimes. Most things in this lifetime suggest to us that it is okay to go on with the illusion. And then it becomes very difficult in being surrounded by a certain environment and trying to be different. So this is why today we can say is the most important day for a Vaishnava. Now just think about that. Why? Krishna comes in so many ways. Lila avatar, Guna avatar. So many great Shaktivesha avatars Krishna has empowered. We honor their appearances and disappearance day. But why can we say this is one of the most important? When Krishna comes as Lord Ram, he comes and he kills the Rakshasas, like Ravana. When Krishna comes in his form, his two-armed form, his Shyamasunda, he says, Sabadama Pareti Yajna Mami Kam Savanam Vaja. Aham Tam Sabapavyo Mokshi Sami Masita. He says, surrender. Abandon all varieties, religiosity, all different types of Dharma, except Sanatana Dharma. Surrender unto me. Then I will reward you. You surrender first, then I will reward you. But Krishna, we see when he comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we understand, Namo Nama Vedanaya, Krishna Prema Padayate, Krishna Krishna Chaitanya, Namne Govardhizei Namaha. He gives blessings, spreads the rays of the benediction of blessings to those qualified and unqualified. But even more merciful than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna who comes in such a way to make himself available. Therefore, we look at Janmasmi, Krishna's appearance, Ram Nomi, Lord Ram, we look at Gaurapurnima, but we see that in one sense, this appearance of Nityananda, it is special, special, special mercy. Because it is Lord Krishna who comes in his special incarnation as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then the epitome or the culmination of mercy in that connection is Lord Nityananda. Because even Lord Chaitanya, he is ready to annihilate Jagai and Mane. And Lord Nityananda says, wait a minute. If you deal with these guys, you're going to have to deal with everybody similar, because practically in Kali Yuga, everyone is of the similar type of quality. Now they were quite extreme, but this mentality is very prevalent in Kali Yuga. Kala, Sudra, Sambhava. So this is a particular time to make amazing advancement. Why? Anytime we have appearance or disappearance day, it is an opportunity to connect more with the particular personality that is being honored even more than normally. It's like a door is open to be able to connect more with the ambassadorship commission with the duty of that particular agent. And so we create a massive meditation and focus on such personalities. We see there are three ways to go back to the spiritual world. One way is referred to as Nitya Siddha. Second is Sadhana Siddha. Third is Kripa Siddha. Nitya Siddha often is living entities who are eternally liberated. And so they just come in disguise, and of course they go back because they're just interacting in the material world just to help the conditioned souls. They're in disguise, and so they go back after they finish. Or the conception of always thinking of Krishna, never forgetting Krishna. But that is not an easy affair. And then there is the Sadhana Siddha, which those who have engaged in the process, rigorous process of devotional service, and they have gone through the different stages of bhakti, and they have gone through the stage of bhava, and then to the stage of prema, etc. That is not so easy in this age. Possible, but not so easy. But then there is kripa siddha, that one has been loyal in spite of torrents and torrents of rains of difficulties. And Lord Nityananda has mercy on such a soul. And therefore, such soul gets a chance to come back in spite of so many difficulties. It doesn't mean that one just gave up the process. No, still there must be, we must position ourselves even to get that mercy. But in spite of so many challenges, social, economical, political, mental, that one is still saying yes to Krishna. Because we often think that taking the spiritual life means everything is going to now be nice. But that is if you're pursuing the heavenly kingdoms, then you're looking more for peace than ultimate liberation. But getting out of the ropes means struggle. You're just trying to position a rope so it is not so tight, that's a different matter. You're trying to get out of the ropes, it means struggle, intense focus, dedication, and perseverance until the ropes are broke. So getting out of material consciousness, it means now one is preparing for the most intense struggle that one has ever been involved in, but the ultimate results are sublime and glorious for those who can break off the shackles once and for all. So sometimes we start breaking and we become depressed, become demoralized, we lose the goal, it's no longer in our minds. And then we take one part of the rope off and then we stop. And Maya becomes very happy. Maya is thinking, oh, one soul almost get out of my domain. But the last few entanglements, still strong. Still got this soul under my grips. Just as we all see sometimes, when you're trying to do something and you're just about ready to stop, and you get a little extra energy and you go on, and then you feel so good that you didn't give up. It's like in sports, someone is running the race and they're so tired, they're running the mile relay and they're very tired, and somebody stops and later they feel so discouraged. Well, why did I stop? Why did I do that? Another person is also very tired, but they're looking at it. I am tired because I have come so far, and therefore let me just finish this last part so that I can finish. The other thing is, I am tired. And I have so far to go, I can't do it. One is thinking, I am tired because of coming so far, and therefore let me keep on with this additional energy so I can finish. So without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, such thinking is almost impossible. Because it is not the norm. The norm is dealing with the immediate experiences to the senses. And the norm is to look for immediate gratifications. And so even though spiritual advancement can be rather fast, but sometimes we're thinking that even though we've been in sinful life for hundreds and thousands and hundreds of thousands of lifetimes, then we're chanting Hare Krishna for a few years, and we're thinking that we now should be completely realized. It is not so easy in Kali Yuga. However, if we are consistent, then even one may go through his or her life struggling like anything and still go back to Godhead if they're consistent, because Lord Nityananda is on the case. And that is one of the reasons. Reflection on Lord Nityananda is most important. We can think of Lord Nityananda as Balaram, in terms of strength. We can think of Lord Nityananda as the Avadhut, But more germane for our discussion today is thinking of Lord Nityananda as the original spiritual master, and Lord Nityananda as the ultimate carrier of compassion and mercy. Think about that. Krishna says the need for guru to be able to come to him. So that is a door. And Lord Nityananda, he is the original guru. And actually every guru is simply a servant of Lord Nityananda. And one who is not proper then becomes a disturbance to Lord Nityananda. And as there is the proper reciprocation between guru and disciple, then the mercy of Lord Nityananda comes gushing through. It is not the property of the guru, but it is the property of the Lord that is coming through. That then wakens us up from our dormant state. So much chance is there. Because we see in Sattva Yoga, Treta Yoga, Livinitis had so much faculty, so much capacity for spiritual life. In this age, we do not have so much. And at the same time, the problems are more severe. So it means only hope is that there must also be more mercy. If there's not more mercy, how can there be any hope? In a normal Vedic environment, just to see a sinful person, just to see an atheist, just to see an impersonalist, one must go jump into the Ganges. Just their presence, as they're carrying their thoughts and their aspirations, is so contaminating. But we have to experience such environments, such associations every day. Arjuna was quite a powerful Kshatriya. And even he was saying how difficult it is, Krishna, to control the mind. And we are in no way equipped as Arjuna. So therefore, it is an arena to see how we do the necessary to come up to get the benediction of the mercy. Somebody's giving out awards, giving out scholarships, giving out grants. And they want to give the grants to those who are needy. But still there is some qualifying element to see who of the needy will be able to receive. And as there are some who are needy, who stand out, then the benediction, the boon will be bestowed. So when Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda comes into the universe, they are particularly looking at the most fallen. They are looking at those who have been so much deeply incarcerated, who didn't leave in Sattva Yoga, who didn't go back in Treta Yoga, who didn't even make the full transition during Dwapara Yoga. Now before Kalki comes and just annihilates everyone and forces them out of their body, they're trying to see where there are some souls who are in need, but who are positioning themselves to be able to receive the benediction based on their alignment. And so in one sense, it becomes a greater time to be able to make the transition back to the spiritual world, because it is not just based on quality of performance only. But Krishna's law is there, but greater than Krishna's law is his mercy. Not that we play on that, but the mercy is there. And so in one sense, we're like when Garuda was coming to the call of the little sparrow. So we're like doing our little thing, and if we do it with consistency, then there will be massive help that will ultimately come in such a way. If we examine, we say, well, how do we get that mercy? Because sometimes it's quite unusual. Sometimes we see that it is very hard to see why one person gets the mercy, another entity doesn't. Sometimes we see that it is so unconditional. Is the qualification to get Krishna's mercy, is it based on age? No. Palat Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, they were They were little kids. And they got such mercy. Is it based on scholarship, on gyan? The Brahmin who was just standing reading Bhagavad Gita, trying to read, could barely read, but was in tears, reflecting on how merciful Krishna is, that he personally comes and drives the chariot of his devotee. But Chaitanya embraced him and told him how he really understood. Is it based on profession? The prostitute, Kunja, who approached Krishna, she had just that, a profession of a prostitute. But then she got the mercy. Is it based on beauty? No. It's a hunchback. Is it based on body? We see that even Lord Chaitanya liberated a dog, liberated the tailor who was a Mohammedan. But because he came into the environment, he was able to be flooded with bhakti. Mercy comes in unusual ways. Bhutana the witch, she was so wicked. Just imagine somebody going around killing little babies, poisoning little babies. How more wicked, you know, can you be? Poisoning helpless little babies while they're coming for nourishment, and you poison them. And she was getting liberation. Certain type of liberation, but she got liberation. Kaliya the snake, he was so wicked and so evil, so offensive, that his breath even smelled so bad that he was polluting and killing all the living entities in the river. Krishna came and danced on his head, liberated him. So, is there ever a situation where we are beyond being recipients of Krishna's mercy? Surely not, as we have tried to come under the umbrella of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. But we must be able to intensely beg for that mercy. Because Swami explains this. There must be loyam, samtukanta, intense greed. One must learn to cry for the Lord. When becoming God conscious is the number one priority in our life, then Krishna reciprocates in that way. We say there's so many things we have to worry about, so many things we have to do, so many problems. Yes, and that is also given by Krishna. Because Maya's duty is to work for Krishna, to present so many different things to see what do you really want. Sometimes Maya presents seemingly auspicious things, fame, money, opulence, material securities. And sometimes Maya does the opposite, takes away material securities, takes away fame, takes away money, and then notices how you're going to respond. Some people will be so devotional, but then soon as they come into opulence, they lose their devotion. Some people will be so devotion, and as soon as they come into impoverishment, they lose their devotion. Some people will be very devotional, and as soon as they come into fame, no more time for this Hare Krishna stuff. Some people the opposite. As soon as they have fame, and they lose it, then there's a problem. Then they think, God, you were doing good for me. Now maybe, I don't know, maybe you don't exist. When they had the wealth and the opulence, they were thinking, oh, God is wonderful. But then when they have very little, then they're thinking, so much for this God stuff. So Maya is presenting various things to see what do we actually want. And because they're very enticing and they're real, they're just part of the temporary reality. The problems we have, they're not illusion. They are real, but they're just part of the temporary reality. It's real that you have to eat. It's real that you have to have shelter. It's real you need to take good care of your children. It's real that you got to deal with basic maintenance, etc. But what is unfortunate, when we begin to think that that temporary reality, or we begin to relate to it as if it is the ultimate reality. We must deal with these things in a way that we don't become the prisoners of such. And then we are opening ourselves in more of a position to receive the mercy of Lord Nityananda. One or two other short points. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti explains his principle, the Udanti principle. And he is screaming out in the mood of, another day has gone, and still I have not surrendered fully to Krishna. And he is in a deep reflection. What shall I do? Where shall I go? How can I be helped? This is the level of intensity of cry that's necessary to get Lord Nityananda's mercy. That one must have intense desire to accomplish that which is seemingly almost impossible, but becomes a reality based on Lord Nityananda's mercy. Lord Nityananda being the original guru, therefore it is the compassion manifestation of Krishna to reach out and to bring us back. Therefore, we just have to align ourselves sufficiently, and then the connection is there. Maybe last point, we started a little late. One of the big problems that affects the devotee community so much, let us break it in two categories. First, the biggest problem is lack of appreciation of sadhu. Now reflect on that. Because sometimes we become so captured by Shastra, by Guru. Now what am I saying? You cannot understand Shastra without proper relationship to sadhu. You cannot serve Guru or have love of Guru without love of sadhu. It's almost like we try to jump to Krishna. That is not proper. It is called sahajya. Someone who is just thinking their guru, that is sentimental. As you appreciate sadhu genuinely, then you will have genuine appreciation and connection with Guru. Why? Because the spiritual world is an environment of loving relationships, loving exchanges, complementary services, complementary alignments, as everyone is in unity in serving Krishna. And therefore, it is not that entities are just waiting for Krishna to appear, and other times everything is just a drag. It is that everyone is relating in loving symptoms, loving moods, as if each person is Krishna, because they have similar opulences of Krishna. And therefore, when Krishna appears, he acts as the catalyst to incite that love that is always going on. So how do we go back to the land of love without becoming fully loving? The qualification for entering is having that selfless love. As we develop stronger, loving, reciprocating relationships, it changes the lust into love, or it changes kama into prema. Love is protective. It's not a sentimental thing. Love gives protection. Love fortifies, like creates a fort that doesn't allow maya to come in through windows and doors. Any environment that maya is dominant is due to the acceleration of lust and the bankruptcy of love. Anywhere there is some empowerment, there is some opulence based on the spiritual environment, it is due to some love that has come through some bhakti. And as it is fanned, then more and more miracles, things beyond our capacity will take place. When things are happening in our environment or in our life, based on our intelligence, that's good, you know, manipulation, but that is not necessarily spiritual. Srila Prabhupada coming to this world, in spite of being, coming to the West, in spite of being elderly, in spite of just having a few cases of dry cereal, in spite of just having a few dollars, in spite of being in bad health, in spite of not knowing anybody, because that is how Krishna works on a grander scale. When there are many material things, rational things, that are there as obstacles, but then we see the transcendental, it transcends those things that are realities but are part of the temporary reality. So Lord Nityananda's mercy is distributed, but where shall it fall? Who shall position themselves to receive that mercy? Mercy comes to us as we are merciful. It is just that simple. The more anyone is merciful, the more one will get more mercy. And the more one is manipulative or exploitive, then there will be chastisement. And as the mercy comes, we have to remain positioned for the mercy, because sometimes even the mercy comes and we get a little puffed up or we become insensitive. And therefore, we start becoming lacking the mercy, and then we draw things to ourselves based on that lack. Someone can be weak based on previous life, based on bad habits in the past, but have strong love for sadhu, and they will go year after year, staying in Krishna consciousness with some level of enthusiasm and some gradual unfoldment. But when we start having so much lack of appreciation of sadhu and making all different kinds of aparats, then the artery of devotion, the nucleus of devotion, gets weak, and it positions us farther and farther away from Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Do we realize that fall down, especially amongst leaders, means that one has become offensive to sadhus? When you become offensive to sadhus, your immune system gets weak and you fall prey to things that normally would never even faze you. You look at some of the big falls and it is shocking what people have fallen down to. Because as their immune system gets weak, then even small things that one would never have been affected by, one becomes overwhelmed. Because when the immune system gets weak, then the great mercy of Lord Nityananda becomes removed. You have an umbrella when it's raining, so you're not getting wet, you're under a shelter. But then as soon as you remove that umbrella, doesn't matter what your situation was, now you get wet. So we must be sufficiently fearful of the Maya. And if we are sufficiently fearful, and realizing, like we start off speaking, that this is Maya's abode. And so, being surrounded by Maya, or even Lord Brahma gets temporarily bewildered, then we can be very, very afraid and allow that desperation to be focused at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda has no favorites. He says Maya has no favorites. Krishna and his agents, they have no favorites. So it's just a matter of our positioning ourselves to be able to receive that. Maya has so many different tricks. One trick is just to get one to become atheist. Another trick is to get a person just to become a slave of the senses. Another trick is to call someone who has actively been involved in trying to escape out of her domain to become so depressed and so distracted that once again the person becomes a prisoner. So all over the world, devotees of falling back into Maya's grip by getting so distracted by things that are there, but they're a temporary reality. They're getting so distracted by trying to fend for the family that is no time now for sadhana. Yes, we have to take care of family. We have to take care of material things, but we take care of them by giving them the best of what we have, the best we can arrange materially and the best of what we can arrange spiritually. And not that we put our spiritual involvement on hold. Maya likes that. Once you start putting it on hold, you start rationalizing, and the next thing you know, it becomes hard to chant even two rounds, even three rounds. It becomes hard to come and see the deity because you feel so disturbed inwardly just to see the have darshan. We have to see Krishna consciousness as a battlefield and feel great love for the soldiers who are wounded, for the soldiers who are in chronic situations. And we have to be very careful that we don't become wounded. If we do become wounded, to bounce back. And as we're trying to engage in the warfare to help as many, but do not to become a casualty oneself. You can learn a lot from the positive situation. You can also learn from the deviance to see what is to be done and what is to be avoided. And most important, how to rejuvenate ourselves. Because everyone in the material energy has up and downs and gets influenced by the duality in different ways. Someone have a little difficulty, a little confusion, that is natural. But what is important is getting out of that confusion and how you use that confusion for growth. Some of the strongest people in any profession, in any area of life, have become strong from difficulties and learning from those difficulties, and now being able to be masters based on that difficulty. Some of the best people now in the health profession are people who have been deathly ill and have found ways how to help themselves, and now they're able to help others. Some people who have become extremely wealthy have been people who have been completely down and somehow have learned from that and have moved on. One situation after another. So that which even seems to be an obstacle can become a major part of one's growth experience to be able to move to the higher step, to the next step, etc. And Lord Nityananda is making such things available sometimes to help us if we are able to properly pass the test. So my very last point, and it's a little esoteric. I said 2 points. First point is our problem is a problem, a basic problem, that we have philosophy and we have knowledge, but we are weak on culture. So therefore our social, our economic situation is on the rocks. And it has a lot to do with lacking of loving relationships. Because when that love is strong, it creates power and it creates results and it complements and it brings things together. And it brings a lot of protection from onslaughts. We have never been entities who are just survivalists. Now we have a tendency of having such a survivalist consciousness. We are social beings. We are social entities as we interact in our natural state in the spiritual world. But if we have so much fear and if we have so much doubt, then it's hard to be able to be properly focused. And there will always be doubt and fear as long as things are happening in our environments that are not causing us to be doubtless or fearless. Not something we can fake. When things are happening better around us, then we naturally feel more inspired. We have greater faith and we have greater intensity. And that's one of the reasons also Lord Nityananda's day and his presence is so important. Because as we are having guru-disciple relationship, it is like practice. How we interact with Guru is the way that we are practicing, which is what we are gathering that's ultimately for Krishna. So when relationship is weak, then it means our practice is weak, and therefore our conscience becomes weak. And so therefore it is very delicate. Most important, but very most dangerous involvement is as well. So the love factor is the first, and the second is that often we don't realize that by being devotees in Kali Yuga, so much mercy is bestowed upon anyone just to be able to come in an environment to chant Hare Krishna. See, our experience in Krishna consciousness is like this, you know, this analogy. Let me leave you with this. Say one of our children is only about 12 years old, 12 or 13 years old. And somehow or other, they have been given the permission to go to the university. The child is only 13 years old, but the kid is given a chance to go to university. Now, there's three different things that is going on now. Either the child thinks this is just too overwhelming, too difficult, too out of my grasp, I cannot do this. That is one reaction. The second reaction is the kid thinks, I'm in a university, I'm okay, this is my quality, this is my position, and then the child fails because the kid is in a situation that's beyond their normal capacity. And the third way is one to realize somehow this blessing has come upon me in spite of my not being old enough, being qualified, being mature enough, but I'm in the university. Now I must work hard and I can come up and I can actually be successful as I realize the difficult situation I'm in, but the blessing that is upon me. That is the position of every devotee. We are in a situation that we are given so many things beyond and above our quality. And if we think it is too difficult, we will fail. We think we're all ready for it, we will fail. But until we realize it is extremely difficult, but it is possible because of Lord Nityananda's mercy, then there becomes success. And so time and time again, devotees are deviating because they think that they already have it and they become an embarrassment. Or they become overwhelmed by the difficulties and then they settle in to stagnations and they take other things and they just go on and go on without becoming sufficiently transcendental in this lifetime. It is practically impossible, but the mercy is there, but we have to position ourselves for that mercy. So the day, as we move about through the day, make some special efforts in making some personalized prayers to Lord Nityananda. Make this day a day that you try to reflect on past and and look at the potential future. Because it doesn't matter what our track record has been in the past, any day we can become more Krishna conscious. Doesn't matter how many sinful things we have done, we've done so many in so many lifetimes and so much in this lifetime, that the Lord's mercy is ready to accept and to forgive us and to endow great boon upon us, but it's just a matter of us having that genuine sense of regret and genuine sense of appreciation of what is possible even though we feel unworthy. One is to think that I am unworthy to become pure. I am unworthy to become free of these things. I'm unworthy for this, but at the same time, I cannot go another day without having a greater, deeper connection. Therefore, this is in the mood of Rupa Goswami in his Ashabandha prayer. He is praying for us. I do not have this. I'm not from a good family. I'm not this. I'm not that. But still, he is having this intensity and this like a fixation, almost like a stubbornness, that in spite of that, I know that Krishna's mercy is available because Lord Nityananda is on the scene. And therefore we use that frustration and desperation in saying that, yes, here we are. We've been involved in devotional service. And if we analyze, as we go around this room, if we look at the normal lifespan, it varies in different parts of the world. Some parts of the world is 42, 45, 65. Here I think it's almost about 70 or so in America. So if we consider a normal lifespan, that the majority of us, except for our young brahmacharis, majority of devotees in this project, the majority of devotees in many, many projects, we are already three-fourths dead. That means the little bit of time that we have left, if we live a normal life, if we live that, and most people these days are not even living a normal lifespan. But then we must look and think, so this has been my past. Now what should I do with this last part of life that I have? Should I be the type of person who is tired in the race and then I stop and I've come so far? Or shall I use this last time to gain extra strength and to leap on by leaps and bounds in spite of whatever the situation is? And you must be careful, because most people will not leap ahead. The tendency will be, I am tired, I am faithless, I am wounded, and I want now to just to stop here, because I am not sure what the next step is going to be. But we move on because we know that Krishna is at the other end. And we move on because we know that breaking through these modes of material nature has never been an easy affair, but not impossible. And we move on because we understand if we don't do it now, we also have to come back and deal with some of the similar blocks that we did not transcend in this lifetime to be able to make the next step. So we don't want to waste that time. We want to use it now. So then what is the summary of that? In brief, is that this is a very special, one of the most important days for the Vaishnavas. Because where Krishna is appearing in other aspects, yes, he is saying surrender and I will reward you, but first you surrender. He is coming, annihilating the demons. He is still asking for so many things, but here he's just asking. As he comes to Lord Chaitanya, and especially the expression of Lord Nityananda, they're just requesting that we make ourselves available, remain available for their benediction upon us. And that is pretty much our position. That we're like the little child, the little girl, or student who's now been exposed to university. Do we become overwhelmed that it's too difficult? Do we feel comfortable and think that we're already there? Or do we realize, what an opportunity? But now we have to work on what's necessary to come up to that level, to receive the full benefits of that particular stratification or class. So write, pray, whatever can help you to be more intense. Spend some time. Just take some point today in some isolated time, whether it's 5 minutes, half an hour, hour. Take some time and just do some intense prayer to Lord Nityananda, that we're in this extremely difficult situation in the material world at a very significant time in our movement, where the movement is going through transitions, where our different projects are going through transitions. We're trying to balance the material and the spiritual. We're trying to get more focus and more enthusiasm. And we pray that somehow that we can be enlightened and inspired and poured so that we will not fall prey to the temptations and to the stagnations. And Lord Nityananda will hear. He will hear more today. He's always here, but he will hear more today. On these special days, there is a greater line of connection that's available with the entities that we are worshiping. So what mercy where we can make that connection with the greatest carrier of mercy. It's like when there's a sale, something that's expensive is being given a little cheaper. So in one sense, today, some things are being passed out a little cheaper. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I don't know if we have time for questions. You want to take one or two questions, Maharaj?
Sure.
You want to have a question? Like what I was explaining last night, is that being in the material world means we're like addicts. We are addicted. Nobody really breaks serious addiction just by philosophy or just by theory. But you break it by philosophy, knowledge, understanding, and then an environment that supports you to help you to get off that. So we are able to move through these things as we can create a stronger environment that's more supportive. When the environment is stronger, then each devotee kind of gets carried. As he or she is struggling with what they're doing, they kind of get carried, you know, by the general atmosphere. But when the environment is weak, then one is struggling individually, and then there's like struggling uphill. It's like you're carrying some heavy things, and you're also trying to go uphill. So it becomes very depressing. It's already hard that you're trying to carry the things, then you're also having to go uphill. So when there's too much looseness in the environment, then the individual is struggling, then they're also having to struggle with dealing with the field of activities, the force field that's in the environment. And that's why, again, the love is important, because as we are more selfless and trying to monitor our actions, as we don't want to impose some maya on someone else. And especially our children. In one sense, we say that we have borrowed the future from our children. Sometimes people say we inherit things from our ancestors or whatever, in some cosmologies. But we're borrowing the future. And so even if we are not so determined ourselves because of many problems, we should at least try to set up an atmosphere that's going to help our children to be genuine devotees. And they are going to be extremely affected by what we really have, and particularly what we do not have properly. Because they're sharp. They're born very special and to be in these environments. And so if we are creating, just like now, some of the devotees are getting their land, getting their houses. And basically, what they're doing is just basically development that will be slow. But the real flourishing of those things will be experienced for their children. Some devotees are going to take a while to build their house, a while to get the house fixed up, a while to start doing some gardening, do this thing, that thing. Some who are thinking that way. And so once they're a little established, then they're a little older, but then the children will be able to have sufficient benefit. And when they have sufficient security, then they are feeling much more able to buy in to this culture of devotion. Otherwise, they have sympathy, but they don't see that it's practical. Their love for you, their love for us, causes them not to want to be a serious devotee. Think about that. They see their mother and father struggling and suffering day after day after day. They love their mother and father. Do you think they want to then do something that's going to play into that also struggling? Then the tendency subconsciously will be to do something different. Because those who they love the most, they see they're suffering so much from this environment of spirituality. But as they see that, yes, there are problems, we're working through those, but basically we are having some security, we're feeling enthused as we're struggling, we're learning as we're working together, that there is loving exchanges. You see, just like husband and wife, when there is a problem, when there is some problem, there's some financial problem, there's some sickness, one of the children is sick, this or that. These things, when there is actual love, it actually makes the relationship stronger, not weaker. And when the love level is not strong, then any little incoherence is just fragments the relationship. So when we are functioning with proper comradeship as Vaishnavas, then even when there are some things we're trying to work out, it actually makes the relationship sweeter. As we think about now how to do this and do that, but we're thinking in a more self-centered way, and we're doubting the process, and we're fearful about the sense of community, then it'll be the opposite. Any little thing will just make us feel, oh yes, here it goes again, I knew it, I'm out of here. Or I've been chanting Krishna, Krishna all this time, I think I'm going to go chant Shiva, Om Namo Shivaya. People do many, many different things these days. But it's not fully their fault, but it's what we have done or not done to make the environment stronger. In that sense. The other question? It takes philosophy, it takes knowledge, but as important, it takes an environment that moves us through various things. And you can see that. When, you know, you're in an environment where, you know, people are just shrewd or doubtful or very fearful or harsh toward each other, one begins to imbibe. See, there is no such thing as neutral relationship or neutral association. Every association, it's either liberating or moving more toward liberation or toward incarceration. Anytime people associate, it doesn't matter who it is, there is an exchange of consciousness and exchange of energy. No such thing as neutral association. So as we become greater carriers of devotion or have greater intensity about what is possible, then we kind of electrify each other with that. But when we're carrying, you know, so many problems, then what happens is that we drop those on each other. And then it's like, again, coming up the hill with your own burden And then some would struggle trying to get up, and one will become very demoralized. And then Maya will feel again, oh, I almost lost my camp. Almost out of my camp. But I've grabbed the person back. So let's stop there. But it's difficult, yes? The most difficult thing we've ever done, because it's the greatest thing. And something that is very powerful also has, you know, various polarities. Something that is very, very powerful, and the more it is done the right way, the more it becomes auspicious. The more it is done improper, the more it's electrocuting, like electricity. It's because it's powerful, it illuminates. If you deal with it improper, you get electrocuted. So many, many devotees have become weak because of Vaishnava aparas, because of a lack of realizing how rare it is for a soul to be a devotee, a lack of realizing the mercy umbrella that's extended in the Vaishnav community. And once we start treating each other in ways that of acting as if we're not Vaishnavas, then immune systems gets weak one after another. And you have a tremendously sick environment where people are not quite understanding what's happening, but they know something is wrong and they don't feel right because the immune system. You just look at it, you just take it in a practical sense. Notice the devotees who just seem to have a lot of love, a lot of care for other Vaishnavas. And even though there's difficulties in their life, they just go on and on, and they advance, and they get realizations. And those who don't, they may be up this way one time, make a lot of money this, have a lot of power at this point, do this thing, that thing, but then you'll gradually see from time to time serious deterioration. Because Krishna's not bribed. He's not just looking at what we're giving him or offering him or what we're thinking about doing. He's more concerned with consciousness and the things that we do related to consciousness. So as we look at these last years, in one sense, that we have in these bodies, hopefully on this planet, then we think, at least let me make this dash for using little time that I have left and just going to the classes we were discussing yesterday, just talking about all the kind of unusual things that's happening on the planet, that one is not even guaranteed to live out even a normal life based on how civilization is going through such flux and such change. So we want to see this as auspicious, that now is a chance to dive deep to try to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. ISKCON Founder Chart, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. Nityananda Ram Ki. C.C. Vallabhan Chandra Ki. Hare Krishna.